Well, this morning I'd like to focus on a particular question. Sometimes when we ask questions, it's more enjoyable to ask the actual question than to find out the answer, especially when you ask kids or when the question has no answer, just the puzzled look that sometimes you'll get on people's faces, such as, how do you handcuff a one-armed man? Or is it okay for vegetarians to eat animal crackers? Or can anyone actually kill two birds with one stone? You might try those at the dinner table or the lunch table this afternoon after the service. Or you could ask deeper, more profound questions, life questions such as, what is the purpose of your life? How do you know when you're fully loving someone? Have you made a difference in this world? In the midst of preparing late last night, Megan was getting ready for bed, and Micah, my little guy, he had already been put to bed, and all of a sudden he comes strolling into our bedroom. And he had a grin on his face, and I said, "Oh, Micah, what do you need, buddy? I need to ask Mommy a question." I'm like, "No, it's time for bed." "No, I need to ask Mommy a question." I said, "No, Micah, it's time to go back to bed. I need to ask Mommy a question." Fine. I could tell I wasn't going to win this little battle. So he went over and knocked on the door, and she said, "Come in." And I could hear him. He walked in. And again, I'm still thinking through what my thoughts are for this morning. And I hear him. He says, "Mommy, does God really fit in your heart?" And it just struck me as I was searching for those unanswerable or difficult questions, here he is out of the mouth of a four-year-old asking one. And it was worth staying up past his bedtime to talk about. This morning, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read about Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an event that happens just 5 days prior to Jesus laying down his life for you and me. And in this account, there's a key question, and I'd like to see if you can figure out what it is. Matthew chapter 21. I'll read verses 1 through 11. It says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Did you catch the question? It was posed by the people of the city when they said, "Who is this?" Or in other words, "Who is all this fuss about?" Or why all the noise and the excitement and the commotion? And as I considered this question, it struck me that this wasn't the first time that the question had been asked concerning Jesus. It seems that ever since the word became flesh and dwelt among us, people have been repeatedly inquiring, directly or indirectly, about the identity of this prophet from Nazareth. And as I looked through the story of Jesus, I came across the following. In Mark's gospel, he tells about a time when Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth to teach and to minister to the people there. Mark says that the people were amazed, but some of them didn't recognize him and they took offense at him. Of course, they knew who he was because they said, "Where did this man get these things? What's the wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. They knew who he was. But what the people of Nazareth didn't realize was that the same carpenter at whom they were taking offense was the craftsman who created the entire universe. They rejected him. And they didn't believe him because they didn't know him. Luke's gospel tells the story about some men who had a friend who was paralyzed, unable to walk. While Jesus taught, the crowd of people surrounding him was thick, so these men took their crippled friend up onto the roof of the house that Jesus was teaching in, and they removed some tiles and they lowered this man on a mat down right in front of Jesus. The scripture says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Except the spiritual leaders, because they didn't know him. The religious experts of the law, they didn't recognize Jesus. Their question was, "Who is this?" Their unbelief blinded their ability to realize that the God who forgives sins and the God who heals the lame was standing right there in front of them. John's gospel tells of a time when Jesus was interacting with the people in the temple courts. And they came up to Jesus and they asked him point blank, "Who are you?" And Jesus' response was this: "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning." And then sometime later, the people said to him, "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe." His opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. From which of these do you stone me?" They said, "We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." They knew his works, they knew his claims, but they did not know him. They did not believe. John says, "Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The crowd in Jerusalem witnessed the arrival of the prophet from Nazareth. And they were asking the right question. Who is this? Who is all this commotion about? Why all the stir? Would they find the answer? Some of them thought that he was just another prophet in a long line of prophets. Some believed that Jesus was a political leader who would hopefully lead a revolution to overthrow the Roman oppression. And some thought he was just another miracle worker, or a miracle worker. But did they recognize him as king, as Messiah, as the promised anointed one from heaven? Did they see him as the Lord of heaven and earth? Did they believe in him as their rescue, their salvation? And I believe that this question regarding Jesus, who is this, will drive us to one of two conclusions. We'll either crown him or we'll curse him. One is the response of faith, and the other is the response of unbelief. Do you remember the two thieves who were being crucified with Jesus? Both of them that day had an unexpected encounter with the Savior. And with eternity at stake, one of the men received Christ that day, and the other man rejected Christ that day. One of the men crowned the king, and the other one cursed the king. One of them realized that before them was one who could offer eternal pardon. And the other mocked the Messiah and just spewed sarcasm. Both of the men died that day. And both of them will live forever. One for eternal life, one for eternal death. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." John wrote these words, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And throughout his life, the identity of Jesus was often challenged. As I read the account of his life, I find it difficult to understand why people didn't recognize who he was. The miracles, the healings, the praise, the acts of God that he performed. In some ways, it would be like if I put my glasses on the top of my head and I said, "Has anybody seen my glasses? I can't find them." Maybe some of you have actually done this. I haven't yet, but I know that day is coming. And so, in the same way, they didn't recognize who was standing right before them. And in some ways, it would be funny if the consequences weren't eternal. I know Satan is also at work in this world. Paul reminded the church in Corinth that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And at some point in the life of every human, each one of us will be confronted with this question: The same question that the crowd in Jerusalem was asking that day when Jesus rode in on a humble donkey. Who is this? How you answer that question will change your life now and forever. How you view Jesus will impact you for eternity. And for those who receive him, their cry will be, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! And for those who reject him, their cry will be, Crucify him. For all of us, we find ourselves in a position of having to believe in Jesus or to deny Jesus. After the resurrection, John tells the story about the disciples. They're all out fishing one night, and they caught nothing. And so in the early morning, they heard a voice from the shore saying, Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. The figure on the shore says to them, Come and have breakfast. And John writes something interesting. He says, None of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. It was as if John recognized that Jesus had spent his entire ministry trying to get these guys to understand who he was. And now they knew. They could rest in the assurance of knowing the Son of God. In their lives, the key question, who is this, had finally been answered. They knew it was the Lord. I was personally confronted with this question, who is this? Who is this Jesus? In my own life at age 15. It was a time in my life when I was trying to figure out and wrestle with some of those deeper questions of life about who I am and what this world is all about. Questions like, are the Tigers going to win the World Series this year? That was a big, big one that I was struggling with. And another one was, how can I get her to be my girlfriend? That was an important one. Another one I struggled with was, if I tie my brother up and lock him in the closet for an hour, is the punishment that I'll get worth it? Don't get any ideas. What I didn't realize was that in that time in my life, God was on the move. He loved me. He wanted me to know him. And so through my pastor's wife, she began to build relationship with me for the purpose of sharing the truth about Jesus. So she used ice cream cones to get me to sit still long enough and go through some Bible study books with her. And I already knew all the answers because I had gone to church my whole life. And yet, in the time that she spent with me, studying the Word of God, she found the right questions to ask me, questions for which I didn't have answered. I had never wrestled with them. Questions about my own sin, questions about eternity, questions about faith and who Jesus really was. And so in April of 1989, 25 years ago this month, I answered the most important question that could be asked about Jesus. Who is this? It was more than just knowing his identity or being able to win a Sunday school trivia contest about facts in the Bible about Jesus. It was more than just agreeing with a particular theological statement. For me, knowing Jesus became personal. My answer to the question that day was, I believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That he died for me on the cross to pay for my sins. He was buried, he was resurrected on the third day. He is my Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer. And in that moment, I went from lost and blind to found and able to see. And so these past 25 years, I've experienced his faithfulness, his amazing grace. And so I ask you, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Whether you've been a believer for 25 minutes or 25 years, it's still a question that we need to consider. Because we'll never come to the end of exploring the depths of who he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I pray that the cry of your heart and the expression of your life will be like those in the Jerusalem crowd who welcomed their king, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, such a simple question, and yet so many are on the broad path that leads to destruction because they just won't believe. Lord, I thank you for saving us. I thank you for the price you paid that I might have life with you. Lord, I pray that our lives would be lived in such a way that those who observe our lives would ask, who is all the commotion about? Why all the excitement? Who is this that you worship? Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would provide those opportunities that we might be able to express what a real relationship with Jesus looks like. Our culture already has it labeled as something different than what it really is. And I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit that we might live authentically, that we might know you, that your grace might cause us to shout. For you are our King, different than any other king who has ever lived. Humble, just, righteous, loving. And you've welcomed us. You've made a way for us to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you for seeking us out. That while we were still your enemies, you gave your life for us. We worship you. We trust you, Lord. I pray these things in your matchless name. Amen.